Let me turn to the subject of pricing. Does Microsoft price its Windows operating system the same to each of the OEMs that it licenses?
We negotiate agreements individually with the OEMs, and the various terms and prices that are agreed to end up being different for different OEMs.
Do some OEMs have more favorable prices and terms than others?
Well, given that they're different, somebody could evaluate and, depending on what criteria they use, decide what they thought of the various ones. It's not easy to do a direct comparison because you have pricing terms and other terms as well.
Do some OEMs have prices, terms, and conditions that you, Bill Gates, believe are more favorable than the prices, terms, and conditions of other OEMs?
Well, it's typical that somebody with larger volume asks for and gets somewhat lower pricing than somebody who doesn't have high volume. There's not a perfect correlation to volume, but there is a correlation there.
Other than whatever correlation there is between volume and prices, terms, and conditions, are there any OEMs that you believe have more favorable prices, terms, and conditions than other OEMs?
I don't know enough about the specific agreements. There are some things in terms of the relationship and marketing that I think IBM has been reluctant to do. So it may be that because of their view of those terms and their decisions on that, IBM may have somewhat higher price than people with a similar volume. Although their volume is nobody has the same volume.
What marketing things did IBM decline to do that led to these price differentials?
I'm forgetting the name of the program, but there's typically a yearly basis, there's a program that we talk to OEMs about which weighs into their discount. I don't remember the name of it.
What is the marketing program that you're referring to designed to do?
To help us sell more copies of Windows.
How?
We'd have to get into the specific elements. You can have OEMs do a better job of marketing the benefits of Windows. You can have them do a better job testing their machine and how it works with Windows. They can make machines that show off particular advantages of Windows. If you want to ask me about specific aspect of the program, I can go into it, but it's all aimed at advancing the sales of Windows.
Perhaps my question wasn't clear, Mr. Gates. What I'm trying to find out is what was it that IBM refused to do that resulted in IBM paying somewhat higher prices for Windows?
I'm not sure specifically, but I know that there's some of the Windows promotional things that I think they didn't sign up for, and that other people did decide were good for them, and I think that resulted in IBM not getting a discount where some of the others would have been able to negotiate a discount.
Do you know what promotional things IBM declined to do?
I don't remember which ones, and I wasn't involved in that negotiation.
Did any of these promotional things that IBM declined to do have anything to do with the browser, Mr. Gates?
Well, they all related to Windows.
Is that the best answer you can give me to my question, Mr. Gates?
It's the answer. I'm not sure what distinction you're making. I mean, to the degree they relate to Windows, they relate to all the features of Windows, including the browser.
Well, sir, the term browser is a term that is widely used within Microsoft, or at least was until this year, correct, sir?
We used the term browser, yes.
And you personally used the term browser, did you not, sir?
Yes, that term is used in quite a variety of ways.
Including by you, correct, sir?
Yes.
You've written emails about browsers, correct, sir?
I've written emails where the term browser was used. I wouldn't say it was necessarily an email about browsers.
Have you ever written an email that you consider to be about browsers, sir?
I'll bet there's email where the primary subject relates to browsers. I don't remember a specific piece of email.
And when you wrote emails using the term browsers, you believed that people would understand what you meant by browsers, correct, sir?
I'm sure there was enough context in the email that I felt I could communicate something of meaning.
And you've used the term browser in dealing with people outside of Microsoft, have you not, sir?
Yes, it's a term that I've used both internally and externally.
And there are a lot of people outside Microsoft that have written articles about browsers, correct, sir?
There have been articles about browsing and the technology people use for browsing and comparing the how different companies do that, and they use the term browser.
Yes, the industry in Microsoft tracks what is referred to as browser market share, correct, sir?
No.
No? Does Microsoft track browser market share?
I've seen usage share.
You've seen usage share?
Mm-hmm. But not... Market share usually refers to something related to not to usage. And with browsers, I've seen mostly usage. Now, some people might refer to that as a market share, but it's not a market share.
What is a market share?
Well, when I think of a market share, I think of where you're comparing the revenue of one company to the revenue of another company.
The total revenue of a company?
No, the revenue related to one company's product the revenue of another company's product.
And that's what you think of when you use the term market share? Is that your testimony?
Usually.
Are you aware of documents within Microsoft that describe browser share as the company's number one goal?
No, I'm aware of documents within Paul Moritz's group that may have stated that.
Is Paul Moritz's group within Microsoft?
Yes, but he doesn't set the company-wide goals.
Mr. Moritz, you identified last week as being a group vice president, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Several times.
And he is the group vice president with responsibility for Windows, is that correct?
That's among his responsibilities.
And included in his responsibilities was Internet Explorer, is that correct?
Our browsing technology was part of that group.
Was Internet Explorer part of that group?
Yes.
Now, did you ever tell Mr. Moritz that browser share was not the company's number one goal? You knew Mr. Moritz was telling people that browser share was the company's number one goal. Did you not, sir?
I knew that Mr. Moritz was saying to people that the number that a top goal and perhaps number one goal for his group was browser usage share.
Now, you've put in the word usage share there. When Mr. Moritz was telling people that browser share was the number one goal, was Mr. Moritz saying browser usage share or just browser share, sir?
You'd have to ask him. I think he meant usage share.
I'm not asking what he meant, excuse me, and perhaps my question was unclear. I'm asking what he said. Or wrote.
Objection.
You understand the question?
What writings are we talking about?
Well, let me ask you the question, Mr. Gates, since you're the witness. Are you aware of any time that Mr. Moritz wrote in an email or said or otherwise communicated to people that browser share was the number one goal?
The number one goal for what?
Just the number one goal for the company. Let's start with that. Are you aware of any time when Mr. Moritz said that?
Said it was the number one goal for the whole company?
I didn't say the whole company. I didn't put in the word whole, Mr. Gates. And I know that you're very precise in the way you use words, and so I want to be sure that the question and answer are meeting. The question is, are you aware of any instance in which Mr. Moritz, in words or in substance, communicated that browser share was the number one goal for the company? And by the company, I mean Microsoft.
I don't remember any such case.
Are you aware of any instance in which Mr. Moritz communicated in words or in substance that browser share was the number one goal for his group.
I think there was a point where he did that. I don't remember the document, but I think there was a point.
Do you know why Mr. Moritz came to the view that browser share was the number one goal?
For his group?
Did he say for his group in the communications that you're talking about?
It's not his position to set goals for the entire company. So when he says something that's a goal, it's certainly implied it's a goal for his group.
Interpreting what Mr. Moritz has communicated in light of that, do you know how Mr. Moritz came to the view that browser share was the number one goal?
Well, I think he was aware of the increasing popularity of the Internet and the growing usage of the Internet, and felt that the all the many, many innovations we were doing in Windows, that a particular focus had to be doing the best job on the Internet and Internet browsing features of the operating system, and seeing if we could innovate enough to make people prefer to use that technology from us.
Mr. Gates, isn't it the case that you told Mr. Moritz that browser share was a very, very important goal, and that's why he believed it?
I guess now we're delving into the inner workings of Paul Moritz's mind and how he comes to conclusions.
Well, let me try to ask you a question that won't require you to delve in anybody else's mind. Did you tell Mr. Moritz that browser share was a very, very important goal?
I know we talked about browser share being important.
I'm not asking you what he said to you. I'm not asking you what topic you talked about. I'm asking you whether you told Mr. Moritz that browser share was a very, very important goal.
I remember that we agreed that it was an important goal. I'm not sure which one of us reached that feeling before the other.
Have you communicated to people other than Mr. Moritz within Microsoft that browser share was a very, very important goal?
Well, you've used several times, you know, the very, very, and I don't know if you're asking specifically about some time where I used the words very, very. Is that the question?
Let me begin with that question. Have you communicated to people within Microsoft, other than Mr. Moritz, that browser share was a very, very important goal, using those words?
I don't remember using those words.
Have you communicated the substance of that to people within Microsoft?
Help me understand. If you communicate to people that something is important, is the substance of that identical to communicating to them it's very, very important?
Would it be, in your view, Mr. Gates, if you were using those terms, would important be the same as very, very important?
Not identical.
What would be the difference?
The two varies.
And what significance in terms of substance would those two varies have?
A speaker's tendency towards hyperbole.
Now, other than your tendency, if you have one, to hyperbole, would there be anything different that you would be communicating to people if you were to say browser share is an important goal or browser share is a very, very important goal?
You'd have to look at the context to see.
As you sit here now, what you've told me is that you recall communicating that browser share was an important goal, but not a very, very important goal. And all I'm trying to do is find out whether you draw a distinction in terms of the substance of those communications.
And I said it would depend on the context.
Let me ask you to look at least one context, and that would be Exhibit 358 that we marked during your deposition last week and is in the stack of exhibits that you have in front of you. Did you write Exhibit 358, Mr. Gates, on or about January 5, 1996?
I don't remember doing so specifically, but it appears that I did.
The first line of this is, quote, winning internet browser share is a very, very important goal for us. Do you see that?
I do.
Do you remember writing that, sir?
Not specifically.
Now, when you were referring there to internet browser share, what were the companies who were included in that?
There's no companies included in that.
Well, if you're winning browser share, that must mean that some other company is producing browsers, and you're comparing your share of browsers with somebody else's share of browsers. Is that not so, sir?
No, you asked me if there was any companies included in that. I'm very confused about what you're asking.
All right, sir. Let me see if I can try to clarify it. You say here, quote, winning internet browser share is a very, very important goal for us, close quote. What companies were supplying browsers whose share you were talking about?
It doesn't appear that I'm talking about any other companies in that sentence.
Well, sir, is a market share something that is compiled only for one company? I understand if a company has a monopoly, that may be so, but in the usual situation where a company does not have a monopoly, a share ordinarily implies comparing how much of a product one company has with how much of a product another company has, correct?
Yes.
Now, when you were talking about internet browser share here, what companies were you talking about?
You seem to be suggesting that just because share involves comparison multiple companies, that when I wrote that sentence, I was talking about other companies. It doesn't appear to me that I'm talking about other companies in that sentence. I mean, I've really read it very carefully, and I don't notice any other companies in there.
Oh, you mean you don't see any other company mentioned in this sentence? Is that what you're saying?
The sentence doesn't appear to directly or indirectly refer to any other companies.
When you refer to a internet browser share here, sir, what is the share of
browser usage?
Now, of course, you don't say browser usage here, do you, sir?
No, it says share.
Now, let's say that you meant browser usage, because that's what your testimony is. What browser usage were you talking about in terms of what your share of browser usage was? What browsers?
I'm not getting your question.
Okay.
Are you trying to ask what I was thinking when I wrote this sentence?
Let me begin with that. What were you thinking when you wrote this sentence?
I don't remember specifically writing the sentence.
Does that mean you can't answer what you were thinking when you wrote the sentence?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So since that question is that you don't have an answer to, you don't have an answer to that question, let me put a different question.
No, I have an answer. The answer is I don't remember.
Okay. You don't remember what you meant. Now let me try to ask you.
I don't remember what I was thinking.
Is there a difference between remembering what you were thinking and remembering what you meant?
If the question is what I meant when I wrote it, no.
Okay. So you don't remember what you were thinking when you wrote it, and you don't remember what you meant when you wrote it. Is that fair?
As well as not remember writing it.
Okay. Now, let me go on to another paragraph and see whether you remember writing that or not. And that is the second paragraph, which reads, quote, "Apparently a lot of OEMs are bundling non-Microsoft browsers and coming up with offerings together with internet service providers that get displayed on their machines in a far," and you've capitalized each of the letters in far, "more prominent way than MSN or our internet browser," close quote. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you write that sentence, Mr. Gates?
I don't remember, but I have no reason to doubt that I did.
Do you remember what you were thinking when you wrote that sentence, or what you meant when you wrote that sentence?
No.
Do you remember that in January 1996, a lot of OEMs were bundling non-Microsoft browsers?
I'm not sure.
What were the non-Microsoft browsers that you were concerned about in January of 1996?
What's the question? Are you trying to get me to recall what other browsers I was thinking about when I wrote that sentence?
No, because you've told me that you don't know what you were thinking about when you wrote that sentence.
Right.
What I'm trying to do is get you to tell me what non-Microsoft browsers you were concerned about in January of 1996.
Well, if it had been only one, I probably would have used the name of it. Instead, I seem to be using the term non-Microsoft browsers.
My question is, what non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996?
I'm sure what's the question? Is it, are you asking me about when I wrote this email, or what are you asking me about?
I'm asking you about January of 1996.
That month?
Yes, sir.
And what about it?
What non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996?
I don't know what you mean, concerned.
What is it about the word concerned that you don't understand?
I'm not sure what you mean by it.
Is
there a document that, where I use that term?
Is the term concerned a term that you're familiar with in the English language?
Yes.
Does it have a meaning that you're familiar with?
Yes.
Using the word concerned, consistent with the normal meaning that it has in the English language, what Microsoft or what non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996?
I think I would have been concerned about Internet Explorer, what was going on with it. We would have been looking at other browsers that were in use at the time. Certainly Navigator was one of those. And I don't know which browser AOL was using at the time, but it was another browser.
What I'm asking, Mr. Gates, is what other browsers or what non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996? Not asking what you were looking at, although that may be part of the answer, and I don't mean to exclude it. But what non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996?
Well, our concern was to provide the best internet support, among other things, in Windows. And in dealing with that concern, I'm sure we looked at competitive products, including the ones I mentioned.
Let me try to use your words and see if we can move this along. What competitive products did you look at in January of 1996 in terms of browsers?
I don't remember looking at any specific products during that month.
Were there specific competitive products that in January of 1996 you wanted to increase Microsoft's share with respect to those products? Do you understand the question, Mr. Gates?
I'm pausing to see if I can understand it.
If you don't understand it, I'd be happy to rephrase it.
Go ahead and rephrase it. I probably could have understood. It's not about it, but go ahead.
Okay. In January 1996, you were aware that there were non-Microsoft browsers that were being marketed. Is that correct?
I can't really confine it to that month, but I'm sure in that time period I was aware of other browsers being out.
And were those non-Microsoft browsers, or at least some of them, being marketed in competition with Microsoft's browser?
Users were making choices about which browser to select.
Is the term competition a term that you're familiar with, Mr. Gates?
Yes.
And does it have a meaning in the English language that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I haven't any lack of understanding your questions doesn't stem from the use of that word.
Okay. And you understand what is meant by non-Microsoft browsers, do you not, sir?
No.
You don't? Is that what you're telling me? You don't understand what that means?
You'll have to be more specific with...
Do you understand what is meant by non-Microsoft browsers?
In the right context, I'd understand that.
Is the term non-Microsoft browser a term that you think has a reasonably common and understandable meaning in the industry?
Yeah, it's only the scope of what you'd include in that would vary according to the context.
Okay. That is, in some context you'd include more, and in some context
that's right,
include less. When you refer to non-Microsoft browsers generally, are there particular browsers that you have in mind?
There are many that I would include in that. And as I said, it'd be broader depending on the context.
Do all of the non-Microsoft browsers that you're aware of compete with Internet Explorer?
In the sense that users select which browser they want to use, yes.
Now let's focus on January of 1996. What were the non-Microsoft browsers that, in your view, were competing with Internet Explorer in January of 1996?
Users could choose from a number of browsers, including the original Mosaic browser, the Netscape Navigator, and I don't know what version they had out at the time, the AOL browser, and some others that were in the market.
And using the term, as you use the term, were all of those three browsers competing with Internet Explorer in January of 1996?
In the sense that users could choose to use them or use Internet Explorer, yes.
I want to use it the way you use it, not the way somebody else might use it, Mr. Gates. What I want to know is that in January 1996, did you consider Mosaic, Navigator, and AOL's browser as all competing with Internet Explorer?
In the sense that users could select one of those others to choose, yes.
And is that the only sense that you use the term competition?
No.
Okay. Now, what I want to do is I want to focus on competition the way you use it in the ordinary operation of your business.
And one of the senses is whether people choose to use our way of providing a feature or if they choose to get additional software to provide them with that feature.
And was that the choice that users were making between Internet Explorer and the AOL browser in January of 1996, Mr. Gates?
Users had that choice between those two.
Were they making that choice, Mr. Gates, insofar as you're aware?
Some were, yes.
And some were choosing the AOL browser instead of Internet Explorer. That's your testimony?
Well, people can switch at any time and they can intermix their usage. But yes, some people chose to primarily use the AOL browser.
Instead of Internet Explorer is your testimony?
Well, when they use it primarily, that means it's got most of their usage share. And that means nothing else does. So, and some, let's take somebody who exclusively would have used the AOL browser. I can't name anybody like that, but I'm sure there were people like that. That would mean they weren't using the Internet Explorer technologies in Windows.
And because of that, as you use the term competition, you would consider that a competitive alternative. That's what you said, is that correct?
In terms of competing for usage share, yes.
And what you've testified is that when you use browser share, you meant usage share, correct? That's what you
said. That's right.
So that as you use the term browser share, it is your testimony that in January 1996, Microsoft was competing for browser share with Mosaic, Navigator, and AOL's browser, correct?
In the sense that users would choose to use one of those in varying degrees, yes.
But in terms of what you meant by browser share, that was what you considered to be competition in January of 1996, correct?
That we were competing to see who could make the better browser that users would choose to take advantage of, yes.
And you were competing with the supplier of Mosaic and the supplier of Navigator and the supplier of AOL's browser to do that. Is that your testimony?
I know we were interested in making our browser attractive so that we'd gain higher usage share.
Higher usage share compared to
all the other browsers, including particularly those browsers.
Okay. Now, in January of 1996, did you consider any one of those three browsers to be a stronger or more important competitor than any of the others?
It's hard for me to pin it down to January 1996. At some point, we definitely thought of the Netscape browser as the number one in terms of how our Windows browsing would be compared by users and which they would select.
Have you finished your answer?
Mm-hmm.
When did you first consider Netscape's browser to be your primary or most important non-Microsoft browser with which Internet Explorer was competing?
think by late 1995, we thought of Navigator as competing both with, well, competing with Windows broadly, including the internet capabilities of Windows.
Prior to late 1995, did you think of the Netscape browser as competing either broadly with Windows or with Internet Explorer?
No, I think prior to that, we were unclear about whether that was the case.
Let me try to go back now to the first sentence in your memo of January 5, 1996 that has been marked as Exhibit 358, where it says, winning internet browser share is a very, very important goal for us. Does the prior discussion that we've just had refresh your recollection that you would have been referring primarily there to the goal of gaining market share versus Netscape?
You keep trying to read Netscape into that sentence, and I don't see how you can do that.
I just really want to get your testimony.
Okay.
Mr. Gates. And that is when he wrote winning internet browser share is a very, very important goal for us in January 1996, were you referring primarily to gaining market share compared to Netscape?
I've testified I don't remember what I was thinking when I wrote that sentence.
If you can't remember what you meant when you wrote that sentence, do you at least remember that in January 1996, winning internet browser share was an important goal for Microsoft?
Yes.
And with respect to the goal of winning internet browser share in 1996, was that goal primarily to gain share compared to Netscape?
Not necessarily.
When you talk about winning browser share, not necessarily just in this document, but generally, you're referring to gaining market share compared to other competitors, correct?
Or any new products that come along.
That are competitive, correct?
That people use for that function.
In January of 1996, was it the case that the most important competitive product to Internet Explorer was Netscape's browser?
I think by this time, the browser that had the highest usage share was Netscape's Navigator.
you read the question back, please?
In January of 1996, was it the case that the most important competitive product to Internet Explorer was Netscape's browser?
Can you answer that question, sir?
In terms of users picking browsers, the product that was on the market that competed for usage the most in this time period was probably Netscape's Navigator.
Okay. Was the fact that you've just described a fact that caused you and Microsoft to want to study Netscape and determine how you could reduce Netscape's ability to compete?
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that.
In or about January of 1996 or thereafter, did Microsoft try to study Netscape to determine how you could reduce Netscape's ability to compete?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Let me try to break it up into as small pieces as I can. In or about January 1996 or thereafter, did Microsoft, to your knowledge, undertake to try to study Netscape as a company, including where its revenues came from, what its dependencies were, what it needed to remain viable?
Sure, we looked at their revenue, and I'm sure we looked at their products and their organizational structure.
Was that in whole or in part a result of an attempt to find out what their vulnerabilities were, Mr. Gates?
Did you end the question?
Both your counsel and I had thought so.
Okay.
But if you don't understand it, I'll rephrase it.
We were interested in learning what users liked about their products and what kind of response customers had.
for my present question, I'm not asking about learning about their products just for the sake of learning about their products. What I'm asking about is whether you were trying to figure out where Netscape's dependencies were so that you could attack Netscape and render Netscape a less effective competitor.
Objection. We were interested in building a product that users would prefer over them.
My question, sir, is whether, in addition to whatever you did to improve your product, were you also attempting to ascertain what Netscape's dependencies were so that you could attempt to render Netscape less viable, less able to compete with Microsoft?
We gathered information about Netscape like we do a number of companies we compete with, including IBM, Sun, Novell, and many others.
Have you finished your answer?
I have.
I'm now asking you about Netscape in particular, and I'm asking you whether you gathered information about Netscape for the purpose, in whole or in part, to determine what Netscape's dependencies were so that you could then try to attack those dependencies and render Netscape a less viable competitor.
It's the compoundness of the question that makes it so confusing.
Okay. Is the question so confusing that you really think you can't answer it?
It's the compoundness that makes it so confusing that I don't think I can give you a good answer.
All right. You gathered information about Netscape, correct?
People in the company did. I didn't personally.
Well, you asked them to gather information about Netscape, correct, sir?
I didn't initiate any particular gathering of information. I may have asked questions once I was presented some information.
You told people that you wanted them to gather information concerning such things as Netscape's revenues and headcount and how much revenues they got from various sources, things like that. Did you not, sir?
No, we already talked about the fact that there was a normal competitive review done of a number of companies, and I didn't initiate that particular review.
Let me mark. As the next exhibit, which will be Government Exhibit 380, a document that I will give you a copy of and give your counsel copies of. The first page of Exhibit 380 contains what purports to be a message from you, dated December 1, 1996. Do you see that, sir?
Yes.
Did you write that message?
Yeah, we've already discussed this particular message. As I said, when we discussed it before, I don't remember specifically sending that message, but I don't have any reason to doubt that I did.
You see the first paragraph of this message says, "What kind of data do we have about how much software companies pay Netscape?"
It's weird that you're repeating this exhibit without the disclosures to the email. It's very misleading to have the version of the document. You have the real exhibit earlier. Did you lose it?
Now, first of all, let's see if we can reach some agreement. Is Exhibit 353 the other exhibit that you were referring to?
Yes.
All right. And Exhibit 353, the email from you is the same as the email on Exhibit 380, but Exhibit 353 has an additional email. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Let me try to go through Exhibit 353. The first email on Exhibit 353 is an email from Mr. Ballmer to you and others, correct?
Right.
The second email is an email from you dated December 1, 1996 at 9:24 p.m., correct?
Yes.
There is a third email from Mr. Nehru dated November 27, 1996 at 11:54 a.m., correct?
Well, it's not a separate email. It's part of my email.
Well, let me just try to see if we can get this straight. And we'll read this whole thing into the record if we have to.
I can explain what you're confused about.
I'm not confused, Mr.